And then as I was thinking about this sermon, I stuck it into ChatGPT and asked them if it was true. And they think it's true. The shading's right, and they went through a whole list of all the reasons they think it's a real picture. It's okay, maybe it is. You know what? I don't know. And that's okay. We have more information at our fingertips than any generation ever has before. And as if that's not enough, we have AI that can summarize that information and make it even more available to us. So we should have the truth more than anybody ever has, and yet we're still wondering what is truth, perhaps more than any generation ever has. Because we're bombarded with information that we don't know. Is it true or is it not true? We need to have open minds. We don't just write everything off, but we also cannot be gullible. I want you to go to John 18. A couple of verses to get started out here. John 18, we're going to read verses 37 and 38. Pilate had a problem. He had an angry mob that wanted to get rid of somebody. And this angry mob was saying that this somebody was claiming to be a king. And as a ruler in the Roman Empire, there could be no place for a king in an area that was under the Roman authority. There's no way we can allow for another king. So this man had to be done away with. He was a threat. But then there was more. John 18, verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world." "And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, "I find in him no fault at all." So we already said he had the predicament of the angry mob and the threat to his power, or that of the emperor. But he also had this man that was standing in front of him who claimed to be the truth. And he claimed to have a kingdom that's not even of this world. And he said, "You know what? This man seems innocent to me. I don't think what you're claiming to be true is true. What I see in this man, I see truth here." And I find it fascinating what Jesus had to say. He said, "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world." What was Jesus' cause? This is his own testimony, that I should bear witness unto the truth. God is truth, and Jesus bore witness unto that truth. "Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." And yet we're still wondering sometimes, like Pilate did, what is truth? As we think of what is truth, who or what can we believe? And it's pretty simple, right? God and his word, we definitely believe that. At least we definitely should be. That should be a foundational truth in our lives that we can build everything else on. Because without that, we are left grappling in uncertainty. But not everybody agrees with us. I read you a quote by a name man named Paul Breiterman. He said, "Many people around the world looked on aghast as they witnessed the harm done by conspiracy theories such as QAnon and the myth of the stolen U.S. election that led to the attack on the U.S. Capitol building on January 6. I don't totally disagree with him on that. Yet while these ideas will no doubt fade in time, there is arguably a much more enduring conspiracy theory that also pervades America in the form of young earth creationism. And it's one that we cannot ignore because it is dangerously opposed to science. In that man's mind, young earth creationism, the belief that the world was created less than 10,000 years ago, was a conspiracy theory that could not be ignored and was dangerous. It was dangerous to his belief system. The writer of this article that I pulled this from believes that I am gullible. Because I believe that the world was created in 6 days about 6,000 years ago. That's when life here on earth started. He thinks I'm gullible. I think that the conspiracy theory is that the earth came together with a big bang and that creatures crawled out of the water and became new creatures. And to me, that seems a conspiracy, unfounded in truth. I unapologetically believe in young earth creationism because it's based on the Bible. It's what I'm told in God's word. God's word and my relationship with him is the foundation on which I judge everything else, every other information that I come across, or at least it should be. What about all the different religions that say that they do believe in the Bible? They all bring this book, and they all, a lot of them have different things to say. What do we do with that? They're all claiming to preach the whole word. There's a church in our town that I know several people that go there, and I keep hearing they preach the whole Bible. I'm like, do they? Probably in comparison to some other religions, they probably do. A much better job than some others do. I haven't been there to know for sure. But I believe that we need to search the scriptures as the Bereans did. We need to study it for ourselves. We can't just take everything at face value. Yes, the devotions was great tonight, but did you read it yourself? Have you studied it yourself? We cannot simply depend on study Bibles and commentaries and podcasts. That's not enough. Those very things can lead us astray because there's man's ideas mixed in there. I don't like the Bibles that have a third or half of the page with man's notes. I'm like, they don't belong in there. A little bit of references off to the side is fine. But when man's ideas have to be in there explaining every verse, it becomes dangerous. And we can become gullible. There's many false teachings out there. We heard about the one. We heard the antidote to the one. The faith alone teaching that works don't count, don't matter. Jesus said, "Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." And as we heard tonight, James said, "Faith without works is dead." We know that's the false teaching, that faith alone without works has value. It is not faith, as we heard. What about infant baptism? Our forefathers gave their lives to stand up against the wrongs in the church. And one of the main ones was infant baptism. They simply believed that you need to believe it before you are baptized. And that's based on a couple of verses. Jesus himself said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." He doesn't say he that is baptized shall be saved. It requires belief. Yes, faith is important. And obedience comes with it. Peter said, when they asked him, "What can we do to be saved?" He said, "Repent and be baptized." That requires somebody who has knowledge and can understand and believe. And that is not a child. Infant baptism is based on the Gnostic doctrine of total depravity, where humans are completely evil and there's no good in them, and that the child needs a baptism in order to be saved. We're not getting into a lot of false teachings. Well, what about call no man father? It might be another one that, there's churches that teach and practice things that we, as we look at different beliefs, different understandings of the Bible, I think it's okay to go back to some of the early Christian teachings. They were there. They listened to some of the apostles preach and teach. They read the letters that were written even more than what we have. And I think it's okay to go back and say, you know what? What did they think Peter meant, or Paul, or Jesus? I think that does have some value. They know that Jesus really did mean that we're supposed to love our enemies. They did not believe in just war theory. They knew what Paul meant when he said our sisters should cover their hair, the head. They had some questions about how to put it into practice, but they were not confused about what the covering was meant to be. It was very clear in their minds, at least for the first many years. So we know that God and his word is a reliable source of truth, but we also know that men can twist those things, and we are left wondering what is truth. What about your brother beside you? Is he a reliable source of truth? First-hand experiences are very valuable. I think it was back when Ukraine, I forget what the deal was even anymore, but there was a political two sides going on in the news about the whole ordeal. And what I remember is we had a brother visiting church that lived in Ukraine. So I took the opportunity to ask him, what is it really like there? And he was quick to unload that what you're reading in the conservative news media here in the United States is not the way it is. Because he had a firsthand experience. He was there to experience it. But even people that have firsthand experiences can even be biased by their biases. Because we come with preconceived, we'll get into that a little bit later. But definitely people that have been there are more likely to know the truth. What about hearsay? Has anyone here ever had a story shared about you that wasn't true, that went around? I could ask for a raise of hands. I'm guessing most of you could raise them. If you haven't had a story went around about you that wasn't true, you probably heard one or perhaps even started one. Even your brother is not always a true source of information, and we need to be careful. We need to weigh, is it true? Is it not? And we need to be very careful about spreading stories that might not be true. We can be very gullible and turn into gossipers with that information that we believed that wasn't true. God forbid. Maybe your brother read it in the news. It takes us to the next source of information. What about the news media? Is that a reliable source of information? I want to share two stories with you. The one, I was not there, so this is hearsay on my part, but my wife was there. Her brother passed away in an accident where another individual ran through a stop sign and hit my brother-in-law as he was going through the intersection, and it took his life and also eventually took the life of the other person. But it took a while. And later the newspaper ran a story about the safety of seatbelts. And they implied that in that accident, the one that ran the stop sign and hit the car that my brother-in-law was in had his seatbelt on. And that's what prolonged his life, or maybe at that point he was still living. I don't know the details of that. But they also implied that my brother-in-law did not have his seatbelt on. Well, the truth on the scene was that they had to cut my brother-in-law out of the car, and the other individual was out in the field. So while what they were trying to say that his seatbelts are safe, I can identify with that. I have firsthand experience that seatbelts have kept me from probably dying in accidents. But in that particular case, the news story was completely wrong. I'll tell you another story. I remember this was on a more left-of-center news source, and it was in relation to immigration. This is quite a few years ago, maybe about 6 years ago. And they were interviewing an immigrant from Honduras. And this lady was giving a big sob story about how dangerous it was in Honduras, that she had to fear for her life, and it would never be safe for her to go back. That sounds scary. Is it true? I have personally, and I'm here as your firsthand account, I have personally been in Honduras 6 times since I read that, and never once did I fear for my life, and never once did I see anybody else fearing for their life. Now, it is true, and I've been told by the ones that live there, if you're involved in crime and drugs, you may disappear. But I don't know that she was. I believe that she was twisting this story, and a news media was spreading her story so that she would not have to get sent back because she wanted to stay here, understandably so. So it just goes to show that, yes, not all news media can be believed. But is it all false? News media does have biases. If you need to read the news, if you need to know what's going on, I suggest taking some news sources from left of center and right of center so you're going to get a more balanced view. Because if you think that only the conservative news media has the truth, you're wrong. And somebody that thinks only the liberal news media has the truth, they are wrong, because both sides have their biases and both sides have their agendas. And the farther you go from the center, the more wild the stories get and the less likely they are to be true. So watch your news media sources and try to balance them if you need to know the news. If you're okay without knowing the news, well, then just let it go. It's okay. I'm not one of those people, unfortunately. I think we need to, thinking about news media, what can we believe as far as being open-minded versus gullible? I think we need to watch, be careful about those news reporters that tend to get emotional and they're quick to spread stories that don't have proof. Maybe you could call them gossipers. And forgive me for dropping a couple names here, but I think on the conservative news side, we tend to be a little bit susceptible to ones like Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens. There are ones that are quick to spread information that doesn't have basis, and they have been proven wrong many times. Be careful, but if that's where you get your news information from, it's very biased. And like I alluded to, it's okay to not know. The information you do get, hold it very loosely. Wait and see. Back in 2020, there was a lot of claims that the election was stolen. I was like, you know what? It might be true. There was a lot of claims. I know elections are influenced. That's obvious. Everybody's trying to influence the minds of those who are voting. We all know that happens. But they were claiming that the actual votes were being miscounted and stolen and hidden and whatever went along with that. So I was like, well, maybe it's true. So I personally took a wait-and-see approach. As I went through court case after court case after court case, and I was very disappointed that there was no evidence brought to court. So you know what? It's probably not true. There simply wasn't evidence for it. Maybe there was some truth. I don't know. I don't need to know. We'll get on to that more later. But what I've seen is that people who are overly suspicious of their news media sources tend to turn to even less reliable sources for their information, such as a random person on the internet, a random video on YouTube. As if we can't believe our news sources, let's go to some random person that, where do they get their information? Did you know that the moon landing was fake because a man on YouTube said it was? Somebody just recently told me that his dad, that's something that he struggled to accept, that anybody could have actually walked on the moon. And I understand why that's a stretch for your minds, especially for those that did not grow up being taught that. Maybe those of us that grew up being taught that men actually walked on the moon are the gullible ones. There's some that definitely would tell you that. I have a problem with that, though. 400,000 people were involved in the multiple different moon landings. 24 astronauts went to the moon. 12 astronauts walked on the moon. And if we're going to say that the moon landing was fake, we are blaming 400,000 people for lying and keeping a lie for over 50 years. I don't think 10 people can keep a lie like that for over 50 years. How did 400,000 keep a lie like that for 50 years? I don't believe they did. I believe it was true. So we can look at the evidence. We can give some thinking power to it. Very disappointed. Right after, it happens like every time. Whenever there is a major news event, the conspiracies just pop up out of it like you would not believe. Charlie Kirk died. You all know that. It happened. It's real. But the one that shot him, was he really the one that killed him? Because when that man jumped down off that building, he wasn't carrying a gun. Some random person on the internet said that when that shooter jumped off the roof of that building, he didn't have a gun. But the video showed a long object wrapped up in something. So apparently he did have a gun. And it frustrates me when people jump to believing and spreading these theories that have no proof. Wait and see. I believe people spread those false conspiracies for several reasons. Number one, they don't trust the government. And part of that, we can understand. They like the attention that they get. If you want to get famous, your best chance is right after there's a major news event and you come out with a different storyline than what everybody else is saying. Your chance of getting famous is much higher. And if you make a video and a lot of people watch it, you'll make money on it. So there's definitely reasons to spread false stories. The question is, how susceptible are we to them? And that takes us to another part of this, what is truth? And that is, we need to beware of our biases. I'm not biased, but you all are, right? We all have biases, an inclination to think a certain way because of the way we see the world. One of them is confirmation bias, and here's a definition of that. The tendency to search for, so when you're going for truth, you're looking for what you already believe, the tendency to search for, interpret, focus on, and remember information in a way that confirms one's preconceptions. So confirmation bias, when I'm looking at science, I have a confirmation bias that the world was created in 6 days, approximately 6,000 years ago. That's my confirmation bias. And I'm looking for evidence that would line up with that. And I tend to reject evidence, perhaps, that would try to argue with that. And I'm not apologizing for that confirmation bias because it's based on the foundation of truth. But there's a lot of information out there that is not based on the foundation of truth. And I think I already alluded to this, but I think we as people with conservative values are very susceptible to conservative media voices because it lines up with our confirmation bias. And I've been very troubled when we have non-conservative presidents at the amount of derogatory comments and the outright falsehoods that get spread amongst our own people. I'm like, where's your respect for authority? Where's your benefit, giving the benefit of the doubt? Why are you spreading this stuff? Why are you slandering somebody's character when you have no proof for it because some random person on the internet said it was? Maybe the news said it was. They're always looking to down the other side. So why do you believe everything they say? It's poisoned. But it's because of our confirmation bias. We tend to believe what already aligns with our values. And some of that's okay, but we have to be careful with it because it can make us gullible. Unconscious bias, the underlying attitudes and stereotypes that people unconsciously attribute to another person or group of people that affect how they understand and engage with them. So these are biases that we're not even aware of. It includes, if you look up biases on something like Wikipedia, it's a tremendous long list of them. I brought a couple of them here with me tonight. But these are some of the ones maybe that I struggle with more. An unconscious bias is something that affects how we relate to others and who we choose to believe based on stuff in our background and our perception that we don't even realize. For example, are we quicker to believe somebody that's good looking versus somebody that was not blessed with that? Are we quicker to trust somebody that's of our own skin color? More than others? Every person was created by God and deserves our respect. And their skin color is the absolutely worst thing that you can judge them by, because they have no control over that. God made them that way. And he said it was good. It's wonderful. We're all one blood. These are things that a person cannot control. God created me. They call me white. That's okay. I'm fine with that. God created some other people darker shades. I'm okay with that. That's great. It's wonderful. I should never judge somebody by their skin color, ever. But do I? Many black people have been imprisoned for crimes that they never committed, because the history of slavery and you could go on a long, long list of that. The horrible atrocities that have happened to people that were totally innocent, but they were arrested and even killed simply because of their skin color. We dare not judge a person for the way that God created them. Now, the way that a person chooses to present themselves, the way they dress, what cars they drive or whatever, that's a better judge of character. That's things that they can choose. But even some of that is cultural, and it's not evil. It's not necessarily wrong. We need to weigh those things. Is my unconscious bias affecting the way I relate to somebody and making me more suspicious of somebody else than I should be? I just saw a video recently of an individual. I guess he was poking a little bit of fun at some of us, because he was an individual with a darker skin color, and he had some for money bag or purse, I forget what it was. And he was holding it at his side, and whenever he'd go past a white person, he'd quick grab it like this so they couldn't steal it from him. Of course, he got funny looks, but he was making a point. And we need to be careful about our unconscious bias. Some people don't trust us plain people because they were ripped off by somebody who wanted to save a few dollars. And they see plain people as being shrewd. They're going out to get you. And they don't trust us because of it. Because there was some person that did that to them in their past. And now, because you look like that person, therefore that judgment is placed on you. And we don't like it. We're saying, that wasn't me. I don't do that. And yet, do we do the same thing to other people groups? Do we? Speaking of that, we have what they call in-group bias. The tendency for people to give preferential treatment to others they perceive to be members of their own groups. So I give preferential treatment to you because I perceive you to be part of my own group. I'm quicker to trust you. I'm quicker to work with you. I'm quicker to treat you better because you're one of us. I wonder sometimes if we're quick to distrust other cultures, or even assume that our culture is the best one. We're quick to think that, aren't we? We go to another country and we think we got to bring our culture in there because our culture is a lot better than what they have, right? Whoa. Do we assume that our country is always right in world affairs? Why do we plain people fall for unsafe investment programs amongst their own people? It's because of in-group bias. We trust our own, and therefore we feel safe with our own, and we ignore the flags, and people lose a lot of money because they invested in an unsafe manner because they trusted them because they were in the in-group. That's in-group bias. But is in-group bias all wrong? Galatians 6:10 says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them of the household of faith." What I see here is we're supposed to have some in-group bias. That's what I'm reading in this verse. We give each other the benefit of the doubt. We don't make up wrong where there is no wrong. And when there is wrong, we are quick to forgive when there's repentance, even if there isn't repentance. Because we are a brotherhood. We are an in-group. And it's okay to trust your brother more than you would somebody else. That's the way it should be. Another one is naive realism, the belief that we see reality as it really is. Just think with me, the five men and the elephant. You all heard of that story, right? They had naive realism. They all thought that they were seeing it as they really saw it. And they didn't see the bigger picture. It's objectively and without bias. The belief that we see reality as it really is, objectively and without bias, that the facts are plain for all to see, that rational people will agree with us. In other words, I'm seeing it right, and everybody else should agree with me if they're rational. And that those who do not agree with us are either uninformed, lazy, irrational, or biased. Isn't that the definition of pride? The way I see it is right and everybody else is wrong. To me, that smells like pride. What about anti-government bias? And I bring that in here because I think it's too much amongst our own people, and I don't understand why. It's an ideology that is distrustful and critical of the government. We know what that is. And I have an old secret to share with you tonight. Governments do lie. Yes, ours does too. And it's actually okay. We expect them to do that. That's them, that's not us. But God set up governments to keep order and to punish the evildoer. Government is a God-ordained authority. Are we willing to give them the benefit of the doubt that we want them to give to us? You never thought of the golden rule when it came to the government, did you? People that are quick to distrust anything that a government says. Like I said earlier, when it comes to news media, we need to hold these things loosely. We don't need to always know what the truth is. But the people that fall into the other ditch, as I see it, and don't trust anything that the government says, they quickly believe the critics without any proof. So while they choose to not believe the government, they turn around and believe somebody else with even less reliability. And I believe they have stepped into the quicksand of anti-authoritarianism. And these same people, as they're anti-authority, they don't trust anything in authority, they tend to also distrust the school board and the church leaders and everything else that brings with it authority, because they see a bad man in every bush. They're looking for it, and they find it. Of course they do, whether it's real, whether it's imagined. There's plenty of people out there who do that in our world today, and we should not be one of them. Second part of the message, and we won't spend a lot of time on these, but does it matter? Talked a lot about the information that we hear, we see, we read, and we weigh those things and we try to figure out what is truth. And it brings us to the next question, does it matter? I already brought up the 2020 election, and many were claiming that it was stolen. And I asked the question, what if it was? What if the election was stolen? Let me read here from Romans 13:1-2. "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God, Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Daniel 2:21, he removeth kings and setteth up kings. Is God allowed to control the outcome through a dishonest election? Do you allow God that right? Do you allow God to set up whom he will? Is it okay if there's corruption in the process? Because the Bible tells us that the leader is the one that God wills to be there, as I understand it. So why do we get all worked up if the process is flawed, if God's will is actually in place? Is God still not in control if men are trying to pull the strings behind the scenes? I think we need to get back into God's spiritual kingdom and let the earthly kingdom take care of itself. Does it matter? God's in control. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. He's going to take care of it. Let's let him take care of it. It's not our problem. As we think of does it matter if I spread conspiracies that may be false? And I ask you tonight, we can get down the line of gossip. That comes a lot closer within us. But we also tend to gossip about those outside, too. And I believe that spreading these theories often falls directly into the sin of gossip. Do you want to be guilty of falsely accusing someone? That's the question I want to ask you. Do you want to be a false witness? Do you want to be a slanderer, ruining the reputation of somebody else without the evidence that you personally witnessed? If we call others liars, what if we're the ones that are speaking falsely? Why do we rush to accuse our government? Could it be a rebellious spirit? Exodus 23:1, thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. There are many wicked people that are spreading false stories that are unrighteous witnesses. Put not thine hand with the wicked. Let's stay away from it. 1 Peter 2, 1 and 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, because those in government are God-ordained authority that we are commanded to be subject to and to respect, as we read there earlier. Wherefore, laying aside all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Lay all those things aside. They are not important. There's something important here. We need to dig into the word and grow. We are in God's kingdom. We are not concerned about the world's kingdom. Or are we? Does it matter if we are deceived? So we think of, does it matter? And I ask the question, will it affect me spiritually? So if the government's telling me a lie and I believe it, does it matter? Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. Will it affect me spiritually? Spiritual deception is a life or death matter, and we need to beware of the deceiver. If the government lied to me, or the beggar that wants my help, if he's lying to me, or the fellow that sold me a defective car, God's going to avenge that. God's going to take care of that. It's okay. God's in control. I can let those things go. It's okay. I don't have to know. Finally, the third point, what does the future hold when it comes to information? I believe that the future is a minefield of deception. And we're going to be facing this test of whether we have open minds or whether we're gullible more than we ever have in the past. And we're already there on the threshold of it. Artificial intelligence is definitely bringing what we thought was reality and turning it into the question of what is truth. Someday, You might hear your preacher preaching a message that he never preached and saying things he would have never said. But it's on video. You hear his voice. And the technology is there today to do that. And it's kind of scary, actually. You might watch a video of your brother doing something evil that he never did. The potential is there. It's a minefield of deception. 2 Timothy 3:13-14. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. God said it's going to happen. It's going to be that way. The deception is going to be worse than it ever was as we get into the end times. But what do we do about it? But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. We need to keep our focus on the foundation of truth. We know that evil men are going to deceive people, and sadly, there's probably going to be people amongst us that are deceived. We're told that deception is going to get worse and worse and worse, and we've seen it happen. I've seen it happen in my short life, and those who are older than me can definitely attest to this fact. What was once evil is now called good, and what was once good is now called evil. It's all around us. But continue thou in that which is important. In closing, Abraham Lincoln was known to say, if you look for the bad in people expecting to find it, you surely will. If you look for the bad in people expecting to find it, you surely will find the bad in people. That's what he's saying. You find what you're looking for. And that is so true. That's confirmation bias, by the way. We all have it. If you look for the bad in your neighbor, if you're looking for the bad in your church brother, your church sister, if you're looking for the bad in your church leaders or in your government, you're going to find it if that's what you're looking for. Try this quote instead. If you look for the good in people expecting to find it, you will surely find it. Would you rather find out at the end of your life, or perhaps in eternity, that you unknowingly believed the falsehood about somebody's goodness? Or would you rather find out that you unknowingly would you rather find out that you believed something evil about somebody that turned out to not be true? Perhaps you falsely accused somebody. Which would you rather have it at the end of life? I'd rather believe the good and find out I'm wrong. That's where I'd rather be. Let's be slow to judge. Let's wait for the evidence. Let others rush to judgment. Let them do it. It's okay. But not us. Beware of our biases and our prejudices. We need to look inward and be honest about ourselves and our thought processes and what influences the way we think. We need to open our minds to the possibility. This is where we need an open mind. We need to open our minds to the possibility that I might be wrong, that my assumptions might be wrong. That's one area you definitely need to have an open mind to. Let go of the need to know. I'm the kind of person, I like to rationalize things and figure out what is the truth. That's my tendency, to want to know what is the truth. But we don't always need to know. Sometimes we just need to let go of that. God's in control. It's okay. And we need to keep our mind open to God's truth. We need to keep our minds open to God's truth. Let's not fill it up with all those other things that may or not be true. We know what's true, and let's keep our minds open to that.